Hello, hello, welcome aboard. My apologies, I may have said on February 3, we're going to be back in 2 weeks, and it's 3 weeks. That's on me, that's not on the fine company that is Sportsbet. But we are now, the great news about being a week delayed is that we are now going right through 32 weeks in a row. 32 weeks in a row of giving you punting advice, most of which you should ignore. Some of it's going to be right on the money. Joel Kane, hello to you.
Dan, Shawnee, g'day, gentlemen. I tell you what, I love this show. I love coming into work on this show with you gentlemen.
You know why I think that is? By the way, maybe we should do the opening again. I'll persevere because I'm a pro. I wanted to give... I'd been practicing my Oprah Winfrey intros. Over on the end, he's the punter's friend, Sean Ormerod.
You were going to go, you get a car, you get a car.
Anyway.
And for our team behind the lens too, Alex.
Yes, Suze.
Cameron, Jace.
Well, we've had 26 different producers,
Alicia,
in the last
Kaylee.
Year, so let's, you know, let's not start the count there. It'd be like a telethon, I'll be here all night, but... why do you love this show?
I just love the show.
I tell you why I think we like it. My theory. Firstly, it's fun, but also it's our side job. Yeah. There's nothing riding on it, really. It's just a bit of fun that we come in here and...
A lot of ego at stake, isn't there? We put our tips on the line.
That's
here.
Right.
And we get told about it when we're wrong by the executive scorer, Jarv.
Jarvie,
he's always giving me a clip. Yeah,
I've muted Jarv. I didn't realise I had. He must have given me the shits a couple of years ago. And I do appreciate his work, but apparently he sent me a lot of tweets that I haven't replied. I'm sorry, I muted you. So
I've muted on Instagram. Some family members.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Care to name them?
I don't think you need to, on a daily basis, show us pictures of your kids.
You're big on this one.
I'm not on Facebook. Also, to people who jam their work down your throat. So I occasionally will share a story about what we're doing on radio or Sportsbet, whatever the case may be. But people who daily have the look at me, in fact, are we up to Bambi yet or not?
You know what? Let's just fire it away.
Right. Here we go.
The best part of the show.
Back off. Just back off, okay? Just back off. Get off the thread. When people, say, promote a podcast, for example, right, or a business. I don't mind business promoting people working.
Yeah, but because your business is doing it
correct
every 6 minutes on Twitter. So, of course, you're going to defend them.
Yes.
But, okay, attack everyone else.
Okay, six to go, play on. So when somebody is promoting something on their own channels and then you weasel in on the thread and say, look at me, we do this too. For example, our podcast, right?
Yes.
When Sportsbet promote our podcast, occasionally someone will weasel in on the thread and say, give our podcast a go, check us out too. You don't go to a bloody real estate auction and then there's another agent waiting out the front handing out pamphlets to go and see the house that they're trying to sell, do you?
Well,
so back off.
Angry.
Just back off.
Wow.
He started off in such a good mood.
Wow. Yeah.
Albeit a little bit insincere when saying how much he loves coming in.
Remember a couple of years ago we used to recommend podcasts, other podcasts?
We can do that.
Oh, okay.
On our threads, we can recommend it. But don't you turn up on our little territory saying, look at our little podcast.
You've
or
changed,
whatever.
Joel.
But you see it
AM radio has changed you, mate.
You see it also.
Let them have a go.
On other channels where people are trying to promote their business on somebody else's thread because they think they've got an interested crowd, back off.
Jeez. Wow. I'll tell you Joel, you're getting a bit big for your boots. I mean, I'll tell you what I caught the other day.
You can back off as well.
Can we zoom in on this? Is it possible to zoom in? So this is me at the SCG Big Bash Final, right?
Yeah.
And, just a lovely artistic picture, right? You know, the sun was going down behind I was there as a fan, by the way.
Was I on the source and commented something, was I?
No. I don't know if you were, but... Everyone, office for the day at Joel Kane. But I wasn't working. I paid for tickets.
It's a subtle office for the day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cop that. I did it because it was a nice artsy picture.
Bullshit.
Hey?
Bullshit.
From the members. But mate, just because someone's at the footy doesn't mean it's always office.
Good on you. Good on you, folks.
You've changed, mate.
Hey, around the grounds.
You're wearing a tight. I know you're very happy with your work in dry fair. I know. Little figure, like a little Muscular hugging?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. But around the grounds, you're telling me off camera, our Get 'Em On Side team.
Oh, yes.
What's happened there?
So we're at the Fox launch the other day, and a fine reporter, Alicia Newton, comes up to me. Now, I've been reading a lot of her stuff because I was preparing for the Women's Indigenous Game, and she was writing great stuff on a daily basis. Without the likes of her, I'd be stuffed because I don't call women's football. So when you pick up, you know, a code essentially that you haven't called for 2 years, you need all the help you can get. So I was very happy to see her. But then she said, can you give us a shout out? I said, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, we have a touch team. I think it was Touch or Roztag. And they had their big final. And this is the team with the Get 'Em On side.
Right. Yeah,
now, if I got this right, they went out on their own, got the right logo with the correct font and made their own jersey. Are we not tipping anything into this team?
They'll be hearing from our intellectual property lawyers as well.
Oh, you bastard. Give them bonus copyright bits or something. But anyway, well done. Well, geez, you're a cranky crew today.
Well done.
Cranky crew today. Again, I was first here, but I haven't mentioned that yet. No. But, I mean,
2 hours sleep. What's going on? Are you okay? What's on your mind?
No, you know what? I don't know. You know what happens when you
Two hours?
Yeah. You wake up and you just know... You're bone tired, but you know, there's not even a point. Anyway, not even a point trying to get back up. And then I started flicking through the phone, and the Tiger story happened. And that's it. Once I heard Tiger was in a car crash. And, you know, I got a sense it was bad early. Like, it wasn't just a prang. It was pretty bad. So I thought, okay, I'm onto this story. But I tell you what I discovered this morning, maybe because I was 2 hours asleep and cranky, you know, that you're a bit more perceptive. Television news has not changed when it comes to a major breaking story. So what's the first thing we do when something like this happens? You go to CNN, right? It's the first thing I do, and I think a lot of people, particularly that have pay TV, you go to CNN, and it's one anchor just repeating the same stuff over and over. Let's get on a sports commentator who really adds nothing to the story. But it's all it is so you see the strap that says breaking news and you tune in. It doesn't matter. They give you the idea that we're about to get news or about nothing happens, right? So this happens for hours. And I honestly was thinking TMZ is now the go-to place. And I think television news has to change. This is my shooting Bambi now, coincidentally. Well, it's not. I've got a better one than this. I think television news needs to adapt to the times. You can't just have one anchor repeating the same garbage and talking to Bob Costas. Bob Costas on CNN was insane today. He's talking about how good-looking Tom Brady was and how Tiger Woods was photogenic. It was a very strange interview. But what I'm saying is you need someone on set to say, well, I'm reading TMZ and it says this. And the LA County Sheriff Department has tweeted. You need another screen. You need
TMZ. Jeez.
Hey, they're never wrong, mate. They are grotty, but they are never wrong when it comes to this stuff. They were the first ones that had Michael Jackson died. Any major story when it comes to celebrity, they are the ones you go to.
Wow.
But anyway, that's just my observation on television news that it could be a lot better.
So you primed us. Now let's really get into a Bambi. You said you had a better one.
Well, and I said I had to qualify, which I don't like doing. I'll do the qualifier in a second. I think Australia discovered Rob Riggle is not funny. Never was funny. Never has been funny, apart from maybe 30 seconds in The Hangover. He's an overrated talent. And the people of Australia discovered that the concept of holy moly, and I was so happy for Shervo, and this is my qualifier because I work with Shervo, a nicer bloke you would not meet. Mm. And he was sort of, you know, it was ending at Fox, and he's landed on his feet at 7. He's going to be part of the Olympics. He's flying, and great. But the ratings died in the arse for holy moly. And did you see they're going to have holy moly kids? Who is going to watch... precocious little shits, okay, hitting a golf ball with Rob. I mean, Rob Riggle wasn't funny when he was unfettered. You can't bag kids. No. How's he going to be funny when you can't even bag the people missing the putts? That's my man. But I'm
cop
happy
that,
for Shervo.
Cop that.
Wow.
Mm.
Why can't he bag kids?
I bet they don't. Well, anytime there's like a MasterChef Kids or whatever, it's always encouraging.
Yeah, diluted. Yeah.
Did you ever do schoolboys football? I did, and they always said, don't bag the blood. Just listen, their families are watching. Of course, I'm not going to. But, you know, you've got to.
With those sort of games, too, you overdo the best kid, don't you? Don't you think? You just go a bit over the top. Is there anything?
Yeah, I've got something. Now, you boys are a bit older than me, but I'm assuming you're familiar with the work of Daft Punk. French electronic group. Well, I woke up yesterday and jumped on Twitter, and the hashtag was trending, RIP Daft Punk.
Oh, someone died.
Oh, shit. They must be dead. Yeah. All they've done is just disbanded.
Yeah.
RIP Daft Punk. Yeah. Then I jump on Instagram. Everyone's doing the love heart with the love heart shattered emoji. Mm. No one's dead.
I didn't even know they were that popular. No one had spoken about Daft Punk.
And all of a sudden now people are crying. It's similar to your vein of a press release when the horse passed away at Dan. Not as bad as that, but come on, no one's dead. They've disbanded after an okay music career.
I don't think we can live life, we could sort of, by Twitter hashtags. No. I just think... I had a political comment, but I'm actually not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to make it. I found it very disturbing.
Peer pressure. Doesn't handle it well, does he?
Very disturbing. I just need the arm twisted just a little. That we had this awful situation in Canberra where this Brittany Higgins allegations of rape. Awful, awful, awful. Yet the story for a couple of days was ScoMo's reaction. Mm. No, a woman allegedly getting raped is the story. Okay, not whether ScoMo was told by his wife how bad it was. It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter. What happened to the lady? Multiple times, apparently. That's the story. See, that's why I didn't want to go there.
No, I understand. Hey, well, let's just lighten up a little bit, but stay on the political train.
Can we?
The post-match speech, Jane Hurdlicker. What did you make of that? The boos.
Well,
of the vaccine. Well, you're a Victorian.
First thing.
And you're an anti-vaxxer.
First thing, the speech went for too long.
Correct.
But aside from that, what are the crowd doing? Yeah. What's wrong with
them? But they're Novak people. They're idiots.
But how could you... I think you might have said this on radio. Maybe it was Fletch. How do you... buy a ticket to a big sporting event and then essentially boo the people that organise it for you to go to it?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make...
But hang on, we boo everything, right? There has never been a politician go up on stage and not get booed. Correct?
Probably.
So, and now I know Jane is sort of... is a little left of centre when it comes to a politician in terms of... She's not the Premier. She's not Andrews. I had no problem with Dan Andrews being booed when she... The vaccine thing was a bit odd.
She brings it up. But why does she have to bring it up? Like, is that the forum to bring it up? That's my thing.
No, the booing was more odd than her bringing it up. I think she was trying to be a bit uplifting.
I reckon the booing was the fact that she was approaching 6 minutes chatting and people had a gutful. Yeah, just get on.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that theory. I might be right. The only person allowed to go over at the Australian Open is the Kia guy. Remember him?
Yeah.
He could go for 20 minutes. Yeah. He was endlessly fascinating.
Well, the substitute Kia man... He followed Jane Hurdlicker.
He read the room.
He read the room. So he's got the stopwatch on. Jane's about to get to 6 minutes. Novak only got to 3.5, right? And then he's got up there and went, righto, a minute ten.
If only Sportsbet had a market like the National
Anthem. He's too smart.
What about that idiot, the Super Bowl, the National Anthem, that idiot in Florida who recorded the rehearsal and gave it away?
I know.
Now, wouldn't you just keep that under your hat?
Clean up.
Dead set, fly to Vegas and clean up.
Yeah.
And then, but as it had to be a hero because he wanted his precious likes. So he gave it away and he killed the market.
Just on the Super Bowl before we move on, is that a toss the story around the streaker?
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah. To the extent that's been publicised, I think.
Yeah.
You're not getting set for that.
How much did he claim he won? What was
350.
350K.
Yeah, you're not getting 50 on it.
No. Nah.
650 or 750, whatever it was.
That's right.
Exactly. I mean, I tried to get on the Married at First Sight ratings. You bastards would only let me bet $25.
Yeah, novel. It's just novel.
Which I cleaned up at $7.50.
Are you shocked? Are you shocked at that?
No. So how's this bloke getting off, getting 50,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a toss.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. We're here to talk footy. We're going to do that right after this. Yeah, the elite average games, though, they're back. Well, because Tokyo's on. What about the reports today that Brisbane, all but certain of winning the games in 2032?
What, Olympic games?
Yeah.
Really?
There was, it came out of nowhere. It was some respected website. Basically, their charter is to report on Olympic bidding. And they've just said it's going to be recommended either by the IOC or to the IOC that Brisbane, or Southeast Queensland, I think is the official name of the bid, is the number one bid for 2032.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if everyone else has fallen over. Obviously, COVID should be long gone by then. But isn't it a different world? 30 years ago, remember, every day we were on edge about whether Sydney was going to, we're going to get the Olympics. And now this sort of thing is just sort of, oh, yeah.
We might be able to organise a little rendezvous for Misty to come over and just sort of reconnect.
I tell you what.
What are the odds? Okay, you frame a market, Sean, that she confirms the story. I say $1.60 non-confirmed, $2.50 confirmed.
I'll take $1.20 non-confirmed. Well, nah, and non, particularly I'm far less fit than she looks at me and says she's not confirming that. But what about this? I hope
she
that's right.
She, have you done a bit of?
Saying looking at me. What are the chances of this? And this is one, a great gift if this was to happen. Me in my early 20s to see the Olympics, and my kids would also be in their 20s to see it. That would be one of the great gifts. I'll never forget that time, nor would any of us.
No.
If we're able to do, you know what? If that is really the case, Brisbane, I'm going to buy property in Brisbane. That's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Nice little angle there.
We can all just break off a cheque and buy property.
No, but...
We saw it's a good idea before the show.
It is a good idea. No, it is a good idea.
Yeah.
It is a good idea. All right. Now you got me thinking. Let's talk a bit of footy, shall we? A couple of headlines from the week, which I, as always, keep on my notes application on my iPhone. And then actually not on there. So what were some of the headlines? Adam Reynolds. I find it odd that, I mean, he wants 3 or 4 years. It's probably a bit much.
Mm.
They're only going to give him one?
One extra.
What's he on now? What's
so
he's got this year and then it'll be...
He already got next year?
No, he's this year and then an extension, 1 year extension on 22. Yeah.
At the completion of that contract, that would take him to 32 and a half. You know, like he's...
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. And to be honest, a market, you know, you're only as much as someone's willing to pay you. Who's going to be out there spending monster dollars on a 31, 32-year-old? I'm not sure. I think South might have read the market right here.
That's what I think. I don't know. Like, but the problem you have now is that enough to that little 1%er to derail what they're trying to achieve this year?
I don't think so. This is purely just the manager getting out in the media, isn't it? Just trying to get him an extra year or a few more dollars for that 1 year extension. I wouldn't be reading too much into it, to be honest.
Do you know what? Really, like if you see our Sydney Dan, you give him that one extra year. You're a premiership window now. At a reduced amount, you say he's on about $1 million now. They're saying it's going to be about $600,000 for that next contract. Give him $500,000 for the last year. You get a return on that. And more importantly...
Not necessarily.
You keep him happy right now. And that might be the little difference to winning this year's competition. That'll take him... He would retire with South then at 33 and a half.
I get that. But that's a big chunk of your salary cap. If he's hammy start... Or if he's back, he's got back problems, hasn't he? Doesn't he?
Yeah, apparently.
So that's, I don't know. I bet he signs the 1 year. And what about Latrell? Oh, you owe me $20. Remember I gave you, was it? 40 to 1
yeah.
At $20 that Latrell, you said, would sign with the new Queensland club. Well, he's recommitted to South for 2 years.
I owe $20. However, if he ends up there in that first year, I want that lobster back and change. Mate, rugby league. Contracts are contracts, so you don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know why, in all honesty, Sean, They have not announced the Queensland club yet. It's going to happen.
Mm.
Now, I think I said this last year. I think they're waiting for Magic Round or they're going to wait for an event. I reckon they'll do it in Magic Round, which is round 10. And that'll be, it's middle of the year, so it'll be, you know, it'll be on the Tuesday or the Wednesday because all the media is going to be up there. They'll do it then. But you know what? Players are being signed now on long-term deals, like an Adam Reynolds. Mm. Now, Adam Reynolds, I mean, his management will be thinking, you know what? If we play this right and Souths only give us one more year, we can be Southeast Queensland's first
2023 is the year, yeah.
So I don't know what. Give them the keys now, and then they can start signing players. Yep.
And when they launch that at Magic Round, why don't we get Cameron Smith out and he can finally tell us what he's doing?
See, I'm not bothered by Cam Smith. He can do what he wants.
I'm not bothered either, to be honest with you.
Do you think people care? I like the intrigue. It's not hurting anyone.
No.
Melbourne, no, he's not playing for them anymore. Yeah. It's not as if he's dudding them. Right, he's gone from there.
That was my concern originally, that they were getting a bit dudded. But I think they obviously knew before anyone did that he wasn't going there, which is what we didn't know, which was sort of what was pissing me off. But I think now we know that. Who cares?
Could this be the case? Could Cameron Smith go, you know what, I'm actually going to watch these two teams, yes, Broncos and Gold Coast, for 6 weeks.
Yes.
And I'll choose the team I think I want to be part of. Is that viable?
You weeks ago said on radio a theory that I think has been copied, by the way, that he's going to go to the Gold Coast after eight weeks because therefore the cap, it's more friendly. He can just walk in, doesn't have to get through a whole season.
That's right.
Well, the longer this goes on, the more likely that is. I'm fearful the Gold Coast aren't as good as everyone thinks and that he might look at it, they're going to be, you know, if they're 3-4 and go, well, they're not going to win a comp. So what am I going to do? I don't see him going to the Broncos.
No.
They have no chance of winning the premiership, even if he is there. Mm. They have no chance. Have you seen their list?
He's only going back to win a comp, isn't he? He's not going back to get more games, or he's only going back to a team where he thinks. So maybe he's only watching the Gold Coast and going, they can win it. I'm here.
Maybe.
Anyway, we'll see. Can I point this out? Not everyone who has a long career with a club and goes to another club is Tom Brady. Okay? If Cam does this, I don't want to hear 600 million times that this is his Tom Brady moment.
Well, you will.
I know you will. I don't want to, but you will. All right. Let's go. Premiership odds is where we start here. Sportsbet.com, as usual. Comp starts in a couple of weeks. Has there been much change, Sean Ormerod? I know Souths have been everyone's popular pick. Penrith, though, are still the favourites at $5, despite their grand final, or choke's probably too strong a word, but their stumble, still the favourites.
Hasn't been a lot of movement. I think probably the only move since late last year would be Storm. I think they've just drifted now that we know Smith isn't going to be there, but Harry Grant is there, so I don't know if that's probably the right move. But I think we'll probably see maybe a little bit of a reshuffle in a few of these markets in the next couple of weeks as more eyeballs start to land on them. The thing with these futures markets, we put them up a long time ago and they tend to just sit there and sort of marinate. So we might see a little reshuffle in the next couple of weeks.
Joel, what stands out there? Is there anyone there that looks way too short? Is there someone there? So to me, Canberra at $10. That's I'm on that. I'll declare it, I'm actually on that. I got that a couple of weeks ago. But I think that's the right market.
Yeah, I think it's
a Penrith worthy favourites.
No, I've actually haven't got them. I've got them just behind Storm, Roosters, South. So I think those three teams are superior. Melbourne Storm, I do have concerns. If Cameron Smith hypothetically played for the Tigers last year, would they have made the eight?
100%.
Tigers, yeah.
100%.
So therefore, like, Harry Grant's a fine, fine player. But the things you got going against you is Cameron Smith, right, not being there and the impact he has off the field. Young players who have just won a comp, you know, the Brandon Smiths, and how do they all get up after last year? No Vunivalu is a significant loss. True. Right, he's a significant loss. They won the grand final, but Penrith are rushing home in a hurry, so you could build a strong case to think, well, Penrith are probably better served than them. The tries they scored, Pat ran 60 metres.
Whoa, hang on. You can't just let that slide through.
What?
Mate, Melbourne killed them. I know Penrith got to within six at the end, but they were chasing tired horses at the end.
I get that. But if you break down the tries, Vunivalu gets an intercept. Oh. Papp's try was 60 metres. You don't score that every day of the week. What they
What
they should have done was challenge the call, which ultimately they didn't, and it ends up with Cameron Smith scoring.
Build a case that Penrith almost won that game.
Not almost won the game, but if that game was played 100 times, I think Penrith wins 70 of them, right? I just think that
these are just
okay. Well, I'm telling you now, I'm not with the Melbourne Storm.
Does Fletch let you get away with this?
I mean, he doesn't listen.
Fletch is reading the paper during the show. I can see it. I can mentally see him flicking through the paper.
Yes.
Yeah, because 3 hours is a long time to concentrate.
It is,
you are sneaking these little bullets through.
Okay,
that's a ridiculous comment.
It's very, Penrith very hard to go back to back, right? And
I agree with that.
Roosters did it, and we're all starting to think you can do it again. It's so bloody hard. Not for me.
They've got
Tino not there. Like, yeah, he was huge.
Yeah, out, and Smithson out, I granted, but so they've still got Craig Bellamy.
Yep.
Best coach in the comp.
Yep.
And as far as I'm concerned, the best 1-6-7-9 combo in my book.
Yep.
And the packs, I know, yeah, we take Tino out, it is a loss, but the packs second still looks as dominant as ever. So I'm certainly not going anywhere putting a line through them at all. And I actually think $7 might be a small bit of value. I don't think there's much between Penrith, probably too short at five. Throw a blanket over the top four, I think.
When we get to them, my bet is actually pro Melbourne Storm. I'm just suggesting they won't win the comp.
Okay, let's go to our next market, which I think is top four. And you'll see the same teams at the top of the market there. Now, the good thing about this market, Sean, and the top eight, and there's also a miss the top four and miss the top eight, you can multi them up.
Yep.
Which my best bet later will indicate that. And that's what makes... See, you're not going to back Penrith at $1.62, but if you multi them up, you go, okay, well, I'm pretty certain they'll finish in the four. I'm pretty certain South will finish in the four. Now you can actually build something with this. So that one there. And then if we can roll over, always the most interesting market, the least wins, the spoon, but they have to say least wins in case there's a salary cap brought. Can I put this to you, gentlemen? If Brisbane weren't the Broncos and didn't have 30-something years of fine history, they'd be $3.25. Their list is acres from other teams.
Yeah, Jared Condon, from reading the play, he does ratings, right? And he's done that for many, many years. He says this Broncos side is the lowest rated team in 10 years. So given that we have 16 teams every year, he's saying they're the lowest rated of 160 different squads. I don't personally buy into that. They've got some young stars. They've got a lot of kids who have played Origin or pushing Origin.
Well, let's get into it, okay? Let's start the official previews. We're going to do sort of a general overview of the 16 teams this week, and then next week, once the markets come out, top try score for each team, all those little markets that we like to get into. So, right, the Broncos, I'm looking here at the NRL.com best team. Isako, fullback. Milford, Dearden, the halves. Turpin back at nine. He was injured. Lodge and Flegler, the front rowers. Glenn, Pangai Jr., Carrigan, the back rowers. It doesn't sound bad, but remember, Brisbane don't have depth. Ricky Oates. Oates as a second rower this year. John Asiata and Corey Pakes. Well, that's pretty much the team that won three games all year.
Mm.
Tessie New, Herbie Farnworth in the centre, Xavier Coates. Yes, he did some wonderful things in Origin. Jesse Arthurs. I know Isaac Luke's on a training trial. Katoni Staggs is hurt, remember?
He's out for, I think, half the year.
Now, he was their best player last year.
Yep.
So, mount this case, Joel, that they're not as bad as what appears to be advertised.
Well, they've got some great youngsters there, and they were completely off the bit last year. It just didn't work out with Seibold. You get Kevy there, who's a club legend. I put it this way. If I had to coach Broncos or the Dragons, I want to be coaching the Broncos, their squad. Who would you want to coach?
Oh, no.
I think you can get more out of the Dragons sooner than you are the Broncos.
But you know the other thing is, how many games did Turpin play last year? I thought he was a massive out.
Okay, have a listen to this. So their gains this year, Copley, Asiata, David Mead. Their losses, Fifita, Gillett. Now, he was early in the year. Boyd, Jack Bird. Okay, he didn't play for Brisbane, but that's a loss. And Offahen Gowie, Darius Boyd. Well, their losses outstrip their gains.
Yeah, but let me present this to you, that Darius Boyd...
Yeah, he was gone.
Right,
he was gone. I'll give you that.
Gillett was gone. And Jack Bird, that's a lot of your cap that you aren't really playing to. You know what? They're not going to run last. I'll tell you that right now.
I think they probably will. Like, they're by... not by far, because there's some low-hanging fruit this year, but I think that they are the worst squad. And I worry about... Now, a lot of their dramas last year were off the field, which transferred to on the field. So they get rid of that, and they get the club legend in Kevy, as he said. I'm not convinced with Kevy as a coach, certainly not tactically.
There's no one out there. That's
he yeah. may what he will get is more effort out of this team, but that gets you 20% of the way. Outside of that, I actually think they might be a big price in round one against Parramatta at home. Think Kevy will get him up. The wheels fell off. If you go back to that final, this is where it all started with Parramatta. He'll probably get them up for that game, but it's going to be another very, very long year with them. Outside of the effort, I don't know what he does with this team.
Strength of schedule. So you go last year's results, wins and losses. They have the toughest schedule of the whole comp. Toughest. Now, it helps when you don't play yourself because they were 3-17. I bet when we get to the Bulldogs, they also have a tougher strength of schedule because
you're not playing yourself.
But a pretty tough draw. In the first 7 weeks, they've got Para, Gold Coast, Dogs, Melbourne, South, Penrith, Parramatta. That's a nightmare start to the season. So they got those kids have got their work cut out. So 13th to 16th for me, they would be my pick for the spoon, and same for you, Sean, but you not so.
No, how many games did Brodie Croft play last year? How many did Darius Boyd play? I really like this young kid, Dearden. I really like Turpin. I love Xavier Coates. I like Tessie New, so they won't run last.
Okay, let's go to the Canberra Raiders. Geez, very little talk about the Raiders this year. They're $10 to win the comp, fifth favourites, as we saw earlier. $1.35 to make the eight. $2.50 to make the four, $2.50. Minor premiership, same as premiership, $10. And least wins, I don't think we have to worry about that, $41. The losses first, Kotrick, Oldfield, and John Bateman. Significant gains, Ryan James, who we keep hearing is going to be a monster down there. Harry Rushton, Caleb Akins, handy backup fullback, Albert Hopewadi, and I think the biggest gain of all, Joel, is the fact that Emre Guler is back, Corey Horsburgh is back from injury, and Josh Hodgson is back, and all of a sudden. This is a team that was one game from the grand final last year and had everything go against them.
Yep. Totally respect the Raiders and wouldn't surprise me to see them win it. However, Bateman's a massive out, an absolute massive out. Who were the centres when they almost won the grand final? Do we remember? They've got likely team Tomoko and Curtis Scott.
Well, Croker injured.
Croker's injured, yeah, that's right. So Croker was one. Who was the other one? That'll come to me. But anyway, I just think purely at the price.
In the grand final?
Yeah. Purely at the price, I think, to miss the eight at $3.15. Only because, as I said, I think they could possibly win it. But it's just so many teams contending for the top eight. And you know what? I just got a feeling.
Was it Rapiner?
Was he the centre winger?
No, he's wing.
Hang on, you've got him missing the eight.
No, I haven't got him missing the eight. I've got him at $3.15 at the price to miss the eight.
Okay.
I think they're flip of the coin to miss the eight. So $3.15. But as I said, they could win the comp.
And that's what we do here for those new to the podcast. We go for value. And that's the value. I think last year I had the Sharks at $26 to win the spoon. They got nowhere near the spoon, but the value was there. Sean or Marod?
I usually sit here and pot the Raiders, but I'm actually with them this year. Bateman, you said, is an out, which he is because he's a gun and I love him. But the issue isn't in the forwards. They've got probably the best forward pack with a lot of depth as well. Hodgson, fully fit, is massive. Like as you said, they had everything go against them last year, almost finished top four, and then still went on to make a prelim and got close in that prelim. somehow Ricky just gets the best out of this team. I don't know what it is because, again, I don't think he's the world's best coach, but he keeps on getting them up. And this is probably their last tilt at it.
This is – I was going to say that, yeah, Sean. This has to be because look at the ages. Whitehead, Croker, Sneaky Old. Papali, how long can he maintain this peak? Mm. I mean, even if he might drop off a little, he'd still be an outstanding front row. But yeah, how long can he be at the top four? Hodgson, Sneaky Old. He came here in his mid-20s.
Yeah, it's true.
Ciasoliola's going to punch out another season. So you're right. This is the last roll of the dice.
Yeah. I've got them finishing top four, and I think the 250 top four is a bet, and $10 to win the comp. We'll get my money as well.
I've got them to win the comp. $10. I think they're tremendous value. I think they're equally as good as South and everyone. South have become the New Zealand cricket team of this. Every World Cup, everyone starts tipping the New Zealand cricket team, and they invariably make the semis or go further. But they're the fashionable tip,
yep.
And South are the fashionable tip in this year's comp. We'll get to them shortly.
Who's the fashionable tip for top eight in the same vein?
Gold Coast.
Mm.
Yeah. Bulldogs. Bulldogs, a very different-looking team this year. In Kotrick, Waddell, Hetherington, Allen, great buy, Corey Allen, and Kyle Flanagan. The losses, Foran, Holland, Montoya, Tolman, Sue, Cogger. No question, Sean Ormerod, these are your dogs, and there's no question they are significantly better than they were last year, at least on paper.
Significantly?
Oh, come on.
Probably. No, you're probably right. I like the signing. I don't love the signing of Corey Allen, but I like it. It's certainly an upgrade. They've now got a it was one of the positions that they, I don't know, it was like a merry-go-round for the last couple of years. So that's sorted. They're better than last year. I've still got some huge doubts about them. Trent Barrett as coach, I'm not excited about at all. They'll be slightly better than last year, but I still think they're in the hunt for a wooden spoon.
Joel, they're $51 to win the comp. We probably don't have to worry about that. They're the favourites to win the spoon.
Yep.
I'm not sure that... Well, it's justified because they've been an ordinary team for the last 4 years. But do they deserve to be top pick for the spoon?
No. Actually, they've got an easy-ish draw as well. I think they only play the Roosters and Storm once.
Yeah,
one of those might be in WA or something like that.
Yeah, but the Roosters just cancelled their WA game, so I'm going to guess that Canterbury-Melbourne might end up, if that's a Canterbury home game, that might end up in, it isn't a Canterbury home game, might end up at Belmore. It might end up
I won't be betting on them in any capacity at the start of the year. I'm happy to sit back and watch and hopefully see some improvement.
I think of all pundits out there, Doggies fans, I think I'll be the one tipping them higher than anyone else. I think they'll run 12th. I think they'll run 12th. Corey Allen's a massive pickup. Kotrick's a massive pickup. Hopewadi was running into form last year. I don't mind Jake Avarillo.
I love Jake Avarillo.
Kyle Flanagan's a young star. He's a point scorer. Hetherington's a great pickup. Jeremy Marshall-King, he's getting better every year. 12th for Canterbury. I think they're going to cause a few headaches for people. Barrett, good inclusion.
I got him 13th to 16th, but at the 13th end. At the 13th end.
Can I just share something on Chance again?
Yeah.
So, as I said, my key metric is tries plus try assists for fullbacks. 21 games last year. A combination of those two, tries and try assists, 10. 10 contributions to tries in 21 games. Pappenhausen last year, 26 contributions to tries from 20 games.
Yeah, but
games.
Chance had 250 metres game.
I get all that, but that's not your role, Dan. I think as
no,
a fullback.
No. In that team,
yes.
That when you've got George Williams and Jack White.
That's my point, though.
You don't need Chance to be creating every second try.
Well, I think to win a premiership, you need to be almost one a game try contribution. Year before, James Tedesco, 25 games, 24 try contributions. You need your fullback needs to give you one a game. And be very solid at the back, which Chance is. Well, that's what I'm telling you.
Now, speaking of our favourite stats and facts, what was our favourite stat about the Sharks last year, Joel Kane?
The only team not to beat a top eight side.
It was relevant. I don't know why that annoyed you. Pretty similar looking team, actually, to last year. They pick up Aiden Tolman and a young kid from Manly, Luke Metcalf. They lose Scott Sorensen, Cam King and Jason Bikuya. So it's pretty much the same. Problem, they lost Sean Johnson at the end of last year. So he was superb in 2020. And he's gone for a good couple of months, isn't he? Because he did his Achilles right at the end of the year. So has that, for you gents, Sean, does that put a red line through Cronulla, who are $34 to win the comp, 13th favourite, boy, $3.25 to make the eight, and $9 for least wins?
No, it's a red line for me. So now they've got to rely on Moylan and Chad as their halves combo, you'd think, for probably half of the year. They've signed Aidan Tolman, so it's a fill-up for those that are fans of fourth tackle hit-ups. He's certainly not going to fix anything. And then all the doubt around the coach as well. I think there's just a lot going on here that you can't love, and that they don't have a home ground, so they're still playing at Cogara. They're not making the eight, I don't think. They only scraped in last year, just that they're certainly going the other way for me.
Yeah, I'm the same as you boys. Five of the last seven, they won with Sean Johnson. He's a massive out. The new rule change, he benefited from that more than anyone, ex-touch footballer. It's a massive out. And you know what? John Morris, who I think probably is going to be a good coach, unless the club come out and say, you know what, John, we don't know what's happening next year, but we can guarantee you'll be coaching every single game for 2021.
They're not going to do that.
They won't do that. And that, I think, is a major problem. Gives the players an out. I just can't. And the other thing you've got to consider as well, they're playing with a reduced cap. They're still paying Bronson Sherry, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. Well, same as Parramatta with Michael Jennings. But I think Morris has done a very good job getting them to two finals in a row.
So do I.
They're not a great team. Ninth to 12th for me. I would have had him knocking on the door of the eight if not Townsend. Johnson was there. But Moylan, Townsend, 6 and 7. Let's hope Moylan can hold up. Let's hope Wade Graham's body does. I worry about Wade Graham. Geez, put himself through the ringer. That's a sneaky long career. I wonder how many miles are left in that tank. All right, let's get to the Gold Coast Titans, the team everyone has talked about. $15 for the premiership. God, you people are gullible. Fifth favourite. $1.75 for the eight, $4 for the top four. Least wins, $21. Joel, I think, I don't think we have to worry about least wins. They're far better than that. You know the big signings by now. Fifita, Fa'asua Malawi. It's Fa'asua Malawi, by the way. We asked him at Origin. SASA, Patrick Herbert, Sam McIntyre. Losses, Ryan James, Jai Arrow, Bryce Cartwright, Keegan Hipgrave, Nathan Peach, Tyrone Roberts, Shannon Boyd, Young Tonomapaya, and Dale Copley. So they have trimmed a lot of the fat there. It's a sensational forward pack, but have they got the back line to trouble the big teams?
Well, that's the question. That's exactly what you led me to. Brimson's a superstar. I love this kid.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute superstar. Anthony Don's been around a while. Patrick Herbert, likewise. Kelly's okay. Sammy Taylor, what do we get from him? And Fogarty had a breakout season. Now, it's very, very hard when you have a breakout season to replicate it the following year. So he'll be a bit of a watch, Jamal Fogarty. He's not under the radar anymore, but he's done fine things. Look, I love Holbrook as a coach. Everything that I'm talking about in this podcast, I'm not factoring in Cameron Smith at all. I'm not making any assertions what he does. Look, they're going to be in the final round of the season, Shawnee. They're going to be maybe having to win a game to make the top eight, but they're not lay down misers for me.
Yeah, I think the market's got a little bit excited here with them. What are they to win the comp, you say, Dan?
$15.
$15. I couldn't be backing
that. Are people betting them?
I haven't actually looked at their book, but I'd be that. There's always one spruik team.
Well,
that's a big move each year,
and they think Cam's going to join them. Then all of a sudden, because remember, he becomes their halfback essentially. He might wear the number 9, but he becomes their halfback. So it does change that market significantly.
Yeah, their weakness is it does look like the outside backs. Looking at this predicted lineup, still got huge doubts on what Ash Taylor can serve up. And Mitch Rain as well at number 9. Obviously, that problem solved if you know who arrives. I've got them just scraping into the 8, but I think as far as a bet is concerned, because they are so spruiked, I think there's probably value in them to miss the 8.
I've done the same.
So 7 to 10 for me, and you've both got them missing the 8.
Yeah, just.
Okay, Manly Seagulls. Boy, a rough week if you're a Manly fan. Firstly, do you believe Tom Trbojevic when he says I slipped in the bathroom? for me, it was Dustin Johnson. Remember at the Masters,
and he had the socks on the wooden floorboard.
Very dangerous.
And we all thought, come on, mate, you were with your missus and you fell out of bed. These things happen. Tommy, there's no shame in doing your hammy running up the Corso. Well, maybe a little bit of shame, but it doesn't matter in the end.
Having got beat, that's where the real shame is.
I love in the race.
I love. Did you see it was a Batuta or one of those West Tigers sign up, spend $800,000 a year on Harry?
You know what? Vossi made a good point. He said in years gone by, if there was footage of someone like a Tommy Turbo racing Joe Knockabout, we'd love it. We're all getting too precious. Just on, this is the last time I'll say my stat. You've got to be a try game for a try contribution, right?
He's still going on.
This is Alexander Brimson, 9 games last year, 9 contributions, right? Chance is at about half a game. It's not enough.
Chance is not a first grader, Joel Kane is.
No, that's he's what a winger. He's a very good winger, in my opinion, because you need him for those metres, etc.
Mate, the bloke.
That's my opinion,
Dan. Nearly won a Churchill at number one, and you're calling him a good winger.
A very good winger.
This is outrageous. Manly. Manly, what do you make of them? Four and back, Alloy A, Davey, Jason Saab, $51 top try scorer. Losses, I think they're big, Sean. Adam Fanua Blake, mightn't be much of a bloke, but by God, he gave him something up front. Joel Thompson, Corey Waddell, Albert Hopewadi, Danny Levi unsigned. The plan here is for Kieran Foran perhaps to play 9 to start the year. This seems wild.
Yeah, wild is one way of describing it, and I tend to agree. Have you got on? Have you backed them?
Okay, here are the
spoon
odds
before you.
$19 for premiership. $19. They're 8 favourites.
Can't be shorter to win the comp than they are to win the spoon.
$1.95 to make the 8, $1.80 to miss, $5 to make the 4, minor premiership 21, and least wins $26. Now, remember at the end of last year, they absolutely stunk. They were giving up 40 on a regular basis. They missed the 8 by miles. And the Tom Trbojevic stat, when he's not there, they win about 30% of their games. When he is there, they win 74%. Manly's problem is their salary cap is so front-loaded among 3 guys that if one of those pillars goes down, the building comes falling. I don't know. Des Hasler, I know it ended badly at Canterbury. It's not a horrible side by any stretch of the imagination, but 26 does seem like value for last.
I had to go searching as to why they were, so big for the spoon and so short, I think, to win the comp. Because usually I get a bit worried if you're so against the market, then, you know, what have you missed? You have to ask questions. But I can't really find anything. Like the team that they're likely to roll out round one, it looks awful, really. Their edges look so weak. Turbo's missing. As you said, Dan, you can basically put a line through them when he's not there. He's probably only in for, you know, a third of the or two thirds of the games max every year because he's just susceptible to so many injuries. So a lot more downside than there is upside for me. Like Curtis Sirin and Andrew Davey running out on the edge. Jake Trbojevic isn't the player that he probably was 2 or 3 years ago. I think, I'm not sure what's going on there, but he seems to have regressed a fair bit. I can't have them at all.
At their very best, at their very, very best, they can beat anyone. And that's the Manly way, isn't it? But a lot of money is invested, as you've sort of mentioned. Kieran Foran and Tommy Turbo, that's a lot of money in a car that can occasionally break down, right? Either of those are out, for them to have a good season, Kieran Foran needs to have the season of his life, likewise Tommy Turbo. Not for me. I can't have them, but as I said, at their very, very best, they are a team to worry about. But you know the other thing too. When they won games last year, he had an absolute storm with the bloke who was nominated by his peers in rugby league as the best front rower in the game comfortably. Adam Fanua Blake is a monstrous out.
Yep.
Monstrous out.
Yeah.
To miss the 8 for me is the bet. But I think the price for the spoon, if it all fell apart, is probably worth a throw at the stumps.
Okay. We now move on to the champs, the Melbourne Storm. they're almost a boring side to preview because you know you're going to get excellence and consistency. There's not much drama here. Gains, Remus Smith, George Jennings. Losses, Fa'asua Malawi, Vete Vunivalu, Shandor Rule, Paul Momorowski, Ricky Latelli, who I think only played one game, and obviously Cam Smith. Remus Smith, there's a good player in there, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Really, like, you know Craig Bellamy's going to turn him into something. Branko Lee played Origin this year. I'm just looking here. He's the number three. To win the comp, $7, fourth favourite. $1.20 to make the eight. To miss, $4.50. Top four, $1.85 in, $1.90 out. Minor premiership, $6.50. And last place, not going to happen, $81. But Sean, they've got a tough start. South at Amy, Parramatta at Bank West, and Penrith at Penrith. Knowing Melbourne and the way they start, they'll probably be 3-0. But that's going to be a good litmus test for a non-Cam Smith team.
Yeah, I mean, $1.85 Melbourne to make the top four just seems like a gift to me. Like, I don't see how they miss. They now get their home ground advantage back, which they missed all of last year pretty much. That can't be understated. Still got the best coach. Pappenhausen, genuine gun. Munster, Hughes, probably, you know, arguably the best combo in the comp. Lewis Smith, but get Harry Grant. We've all seen how good he is. You just can't. You have to go looking very, very hard to mount an argument for them to not finish in the top four.
Joel, I'll present to you their bench.
Yep.
This has got to be close to the best bench in the comp. Brandon Smith, Nelson Asifa-Solomona, Tui Kamikamitha. I don't think he played last year. He played very little. Nico Hines.
Shown a stat on Tui Kamikamitha. He was a massive out in the grand final. I think you'll find that he runs for the most metres per minute.
Per minute, yeah. He's a block of granite.
Great player. So they get him back. Look, I can't at all pot Melbourne. I love the Melbourne Storm. I love what Bellamy does. Pappenhausen is one of my favourite players. However, $7 to win the comp, if you go through history, not one in every 7 years, and most years the defending champs are right in the mix the following year, not one in every 7 years are we seeing a team go back-to-back. That's why I'm taking him on. However, what you often do see...
You can't have two howevers. That's a double however.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a double negative.
No, but you often see a team who's won the comp come out the next year and win the minor premiership. $6.50 to win the minor premiership.
Yeah, I like that too.
I love that. You go through the minor premiers the last 8-10 years, it's the Robinson Bellamy show.
Yeah.
They coach consistency, so $6.50 minor premierships, I'd much rather that than $7 win the comp.
It's funny, I saw as well, but the problem is if they win minor premiership, they're going to get two finals at home. So all of a sudden the $7 for the premiership looks like good value, but I'm with you, minor premiership betting, $6.50.
We'll take your $6.50. If they get the minor premiership, take the $3.50 then to win the comp.
I'll ask you this. Who would you rather spend your last $10 on? Melbourne at $7 to win the comp or Penrith at $5 to win the comp?
Melbourne.
Yeah, me too. And what's your bet, Shauna? You got one here on Melbourne?
Top four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. The Newcastle Knights, not the hype that we had last year for the Knights. Well, the only news really... Mitchell Pearce giving up the captaincy for texting and Lachlan Fitzgibbon somehow embroiled in it. Big game, Tyson Frizzell. Also, Blake Green is back for another year, not that he's available for a while. Suaso Sue, Jack Johns, a couple of Pommies, Bailey Hodson, Dominic Young. The losses, not immense. Herman Esse, Glasby had retired, Sione Matautia, Mason Lenore, Aiden Guerra, Tau Tau Moga, and Andrew McCulloch. So Tyson Frizzell might, if he's fit, might outstrip all of those losses. You might say that's a net gain for them. Joel, they snuck into the finals last year, so they did make an improvement under Adam O'Brien. I'm finding it very hard. Oh, I can't see them being too far different from being the same 7-10 team they were last year.
How many games is Caelan Ponga going to miss at the start of the year?
I think he's in 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's pretty big. It's pretty big. Green takes up place in the cap, being injured as well. The Mitchell Pearce thing, you cannot underestimate.
I don't either. I think it has been underestimated.
The Broncos had issues off the field last year, which had been reported. They struggled. Cowboys, it came out later last year that they'd had issues of a, I don't know if it's a similar nature would be fair, but there was definitely issues.
There were accusations.
There was accusations out there, right? They performed very poorly. These things are very hard to get over.
Well, you know what? You know what gave it away? That, hang on, this is worse than we think. The bullshit photo.
Oh, the overdoing photo.
The overdoing photo. And they, I mean, they should have brought in the puppy dogs for that photo. It was so absurd. I thought, oh, they're trying to hide something here.
Mm.
So, you know, they who they got early? Oh, what about this for a soft start to the season, though, to get things on track? Canterbury, although they got the Warriors in round two, that's not easy. West's Tigers and Dragons at home. And then Gold Coast. No landmines there. The couple of games there that will be quite challenging.
Well, they'll be favourites for all of those.
They should be at least 3-2, probably 4-1.
Yeah.
And
they're going to they're probably going to need to win a couple while you know Ponga's not there. So, very very hard. They just look a very vanilla team to me. They got Frizzell, but that wasn't where their issue was. The issue is and probably will be this year the 6 and 7. They're not a combination that can win you a comp. I've got them. I think I've got them finishing seventh. Like they're not in the same ballpark as the top five teams. Yeah. I think there's a pretty clear line there. Then you've probably got Parramatta and then Knights.
I think we've all got the same
fairway down
assessment. The five standouts: Parramatta, half a running back, and then a full running back. The rest we've all got that sort of assessment.
Jaden Brayley is a key in for him, but. Like Canberra, my disclaimer is: wouldn't surprise me to see them go on a major run.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm because of the distractions, I'll side the other way.
On this, I think they're 7-10. They're a classic 7-10 team. But 550 for the top four.
Yeah,
they get hot. Who knows? They won't be getting my money.
They're probably one of the teams with the biggest band, aren't they? Would you say that about the Knights?
They could finish 14th, and you wouldn't be that shocked.
That's right.
But they could finish fourth.
Yep.
And you'd go, okay, well. They had a good run last year. Cowboys next and the rest of the teams as we preview the 2021 NRL season. Get them on side. Well, as we enjoyed once again the elite average games. You know, James Brayshaw's not the only commentator you can employ here. But anyway, I've been told we have run way over time, so I'm sorry. I'm a bad host because I teased that we're going to do the Cowboys on the way, all the way down to West's Tigers, but we've run out of time. We'll do it all again next week and we'll have those individual markets, but we do have time for this. The Get Them On Side Best Bet. Sean Ormerod. Well, you hang on, you're very gung-ho there. You can kick us off.
Okay, let's do this, boys. Let's only make it from today's teams. Are we happy with that? And we'll have another best bet for next week.
Always rules, always rules.
Okay, let's do that.
Mate, Joel sent his thing for the tipping comp. You know, 16 different types of tipping comps.
Inbox me if you want to get involved.
Fair income.
Inbox me
mate,
if you want to get involved.
Mate, not all of us are made of money, mate. I don't have $350 to
play. A lot
play
of people have their punters clubs in, Dan. But anyway, inbox me if you want to get involved. Melbourne Storm minor premiers, $6.50. They're going to be thereabouts.
Yeah, I'm going down the same partial. Best coach, 1-6-7-9, probably combination in the league for me. Get the home ground advantage back. Top four at $1.85. It's skinny for a futures bet, but that looks an absolute tap in for me.
And remember what I said, you can put that in multis, yeah, exactly. And that's absolutely the key now with sports bet. I'm also Melbourne Storm, but Ryan Pappenhausen, top point scorer. My bad, I told Suze it was try scorer. Top point scorer is $10. Now, we are fairly certain he's going to be the goal kicker for the Storm this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to score a million tries. To use some fatty parlance. He's going to miss a couple of games, possibly with Origin. He was in the squad last year. Did he play? He may come off the bench once.
You know what?
But he's not a certainty to be in the top 17. My point is, he could score a lot of points. So that $10, good value.
Yeah, I just you might have a good point there because I want to look at Cameron Smith's points last year and we know he doesn't score tries, does he? So Cameron Smith last year.
I bet he was 200. Oh, hang on, it was a 20-game comp.
184.
So in a 20 for 22, 23.
For only two tries.
And he would have rested a couple of games, I reckon.
Yeah.
Didn't play the last round.
Played 19 games. So, there's a fair bit of science there, Dan. I like it.
All right, we're done. We're done. Thank you, Sean Ormerod.
Thanks, boys. It was good.
Gamble responsibly,
I'll give
folks.
I'll give you an Oprah intro next week.
Right, I'm looking forward to it.
Joel Cain.
Goodbye.
Oh, trial game's on KO. If we're still recording, watch us. We're doing... Ah, we're gone.